This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Trader Nick in the United States to get the latest from the markets. Nick, good afternoon. Hope you're well.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
Now, actually, while we've been talking literally in the last few minutes before we went on air, we've had a post from President Trump on Truth Social regarding China tariffs. And it is quite significant, isn't it, this post, and has had an effect on markets.
Well, Johnny, I think most market participants will remember that earlier this year, it was like you couldn't stop hearing the word tariff and Trump and just all the uncertainty that would come around it. And amazingly, the markets found a way to completely stop talking about it. I mean, obviously, there's some ramifications and some discrepancies and some important variables that have come out of the tariff ongoing negotiations and things like that. But for the most part, it was like April, May, June. You would not stop hearing tariff, tariff, tariff. I guess even before then, March and February. But now we've had this period of time where things have kind of been all's good because the Trump administration had seemingly put a big bark without a big bite with it, right? But now we see today some interesting resurfacing of this conversation. Trump saying some very strange things are happening in China. They are becoming very hostile. And if we remember one thing, I mean, the last students of the market, the last 5-7 years or so, this has been one of the causers two different times of significant stock market turmoil. In 2018, when Trump and China kind of went at it for the first time, we saw significant bounce to the downside for U.S. equities and Chinese equities, by the way. And then, of course, now in 2025, we had that big April sell-off. So if there's one thing that the market does not like on this front is the uncertainty surrounding, okay, wait, if Trump and his, you know, his large ego, whether you like him or dislike him, the man is very, very confident in what he's doing, right? So if you look at that and you say, okay, if he doesn't like what's happening with China, that could very quickly become a tougher situation for the global trade network. I think people have brushed past the tariff uncertainty because they've been able to say, well, the taco trade, right? That's what critics of Trump would say is Trump always chickens out, right? That's the taco idea. And that has mostly, you know, call it chickening out, call it negotiating. That's totally up to the viewer's discretion. Doesn't really matter. But the point is, we haven't had these follow throughs where you've had these big uncertain events and then there's just not a follow through with it. However, though, that coming back online, coming back into the fold where we've already tried to make big deals with China and the US, if that is breaking down, there is certainly some unattractive uncertainty that comes with that in financial markets. So we do see the stock market here down 1.2% here. I'm looking at the NASDAQ. At the time of recording, of course, prices are jumping quite a bit all around. S&P 500 down about 0.9% and the Dow Jones about 0.7% down. The volatility index jumping 12.5% here today. That is the VIX, and the dollar down actually on this, down 0.5% in response to this. We also have gold and silver making a move higher here as we speak, as one might expect. If you remember, gold and silver skyrocketed in April. We now see, we've already seen gold and silver, I should say, already making move higher, but could this potentially even cause a leg further? Again, going into the weekend, I think there's also a little bit of uncertainty about, do you want to hold into the weekend? If there is going to be some drama around this, that could be causing a little bit of volatility in markets at this time.
And going back to the drop in the stock market numbers, Nick, I'm wondering whether they're concerned about the Chinese actually now going into other markets, which in the long term would not be great for the United States.
Yeah, there's an interesting story here too with this, Johnny. I mean, we have, we know that in 2025, all of the rave is about the AI race. And I've actually seen some people call the semiconductors and AI kind of revolution stuff the modern day space race. And it is really, this time, instead of US versus Soviet Union, it is really US versus China. We know China is not asleep at the wheel when it comes to AI. They have a strong incentive to be the competitor, to come together and to try to fight adamantly in what is probably the most important technology of our lifetimes right now, which is the semiconductor and the AI revolution. So this obsession that both sides have around rare earth materials, it goes into key stuff. I've just pulled up an article, semiconductors, laser surgery devices, control rods, and I mean fiber optic telecommunications, infrared technology. We also see something here where China is limiting its exports of these goods as well. So there seems to be the other side of things. China making deals, leaving the U.S. out of it, trading with other places, Saudi Arabia, of course, buying oil from them, working with Brazil. I mean, there's all these sorts of backdoor dealings that it seems that China is moving towards. And I think that there is a little bit of posturing there. I mean, we know that Trump was not particularly fond of the Indian Prime Minister, Vladimir Putin, and President Xi all meeting together. There's sort of this feel that there is some sort of coming together. We know this, that there's this group of countries that are not particularly fond of the West and have seemingly grown closer in recent times. I don't think that this is too far off to say that maybe there is some reasoning here. Trump is frustrated that maybe he's perceiving China as not working closer with the U.S., but rather trying to get further and further away. There's another part to this that we've talked about, and part of the reason why I think gold and silver are up so much. There is massive buying of gold and silver going on internationally amongst central banks, and the U.S. has really cut off a lot of its buying of U.S. treasuries, as well as soybeans. I mean, there's been just a dramatic kind of shift here where China seems to be moving away from the U.S. Maybe that is not least of the reasons why the dollar index has fallen so far this year. There's a significant move away from dollar reliance and U.S. Stuff. And if one country is going to challenge the U.S. dominance, it's likely to be China.
Meanwhile, Nick, we've had some interesting data from the University of Michigan regarding consumer sentiment and also inflation expectations.
That's right. This morning we had the consumer sentiment number, which came in better than expected. We were forecasting an index reading of 54.1. We got 55 on the dot. So a little bit of strength in the consumer sentiment out there. And inflation expectations came in at 4.6%. So a little bit of positive news here. But again, that was very quickly swept under the rug to put to the side compared to geopolitical events. And just a quick comment in terms of geopolitical events or tariff stuff. You know, I feel like the markets have kind of built their muscle up when it comes to this economic data release. There's a lot of sort of, I wouldn't say that they have a grip in terms of what the data is going to be perfectly by any means, but there seems to be sort of like an outcome that is expected. Like if we know jobs data is going to be in this range, you know, generally we're seeing markets make these types of moves. But these types of one-off events where Trump makes a frustrated post about something going on with China, that's very hard for the market to calibrate. So we get these very quick spikes in price action. Again, gold up almost 1% here on the day, dollar index down, VIX up 12%. These are the sorts of things that the market can't really adequately prepare for. They're not pre-planned events. They are drop of the hat moments where suddenly there's tension between the US and China that's out on the public stage.
And finally, Nick, what about the week to come? What should we look out for?
Well, the big thing next week, Johnny, was, and I guess still technically is scheduled to be the consumer price index out of the United States, probably the most anticipated economic data point globally right now. However, we don't know if we're going to get that. We have the government shutdown still taking place, which could postpone the CPI print as it did with the non-farm payroll numbers. Outside of that, which is falling on Wednesday. On Tuesday, we have Fed Chair Powell speaking. We have Governor Bailey speaking from the Bank of England on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we also have the RBA speaking, and also we have unemployment data from Australia. So should be an interesting round of data there. We take a look at Thursday, we have GDP numbers coming out of the UK, and we do have on the schedule retail sales and producer price index numbers coming out of the US for Thursday. But again, that is tentative due to the nature of the government shutdown. And we have it on the docket. We have an unemployment NFP report number here scheduled for next Friday, October 17th. But again, very tentative and up for, we'll see basically if that we get that government shutdown coming to an end.
Excellent stuff, Nick. Have a great weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Shawna. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.